I've been all across this country.
Okie dokie, folks. From the East Coast. Welcome back to Monday Night Shaw. I'm Kyle Shaw, the Canadian Goose. And joining me at this time, of course, is the long-reigning former PWA Women's Champion, Zoe Sager. Zoe, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic, Goose. How are you doing?
I'm not doing too bad. You know,
That's good.
We had our shows this weekend, and we did the mini camp, and then we trained again last night. So I'm a little sore just because the academy was kind of like closed for 2 weeks because they had to move buildings or whatnot. So when you take two weeks off from bumping and then you get back into it, it's a little jarring on your body, I find.
Oh, yeah. I always found, like, even when Force Pro was running mini camps, I was more sore after, like, the 2 days of the mini camps than I was, like, just training every day. And so, especially after having 2 weeks off and just jumping into the thick of it, it's been a bit much.
Yeah. Like, you're like, oh, those aches and pains that I got used to not having anymore, and now I have to get used to having them again. But I think that's just kind of like a part of being a wrestler, right?
Yeah, I noticed, like, coming back training every day from quarantine, I think I just got so accustomed, like, when I was wrestling most weekends and, like, training all the time, I just, like, started ignoring the fact that I was sore constantly, and then having 3 months off, and then I come back and I'm like, oh, right.
Yeah.
It's actually, like, I'm throwing my body as hard as I can at a flat surface many times.
Yeah. Well, how many hip tosses do you think we took yesterday?
Oh, well, a lot. Probably, like, that and, like, tackle bump too. Oof. Yeah. Probably took, like, at least 10 hip tosses each in, like, a half hour. Not even a half hour period, like a 10 minute period.
10, because, like, every person hip tossed every person.
Yeah.
And, like, multiple times. But I mean, like I say, like, as much, like, as the bumps hurt, it's so much fun. And, like, I just enjoy, like, learning and trying to get better. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like,
it's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It's great.
Painful fun.
Yeah, painful fun. I think to be a wrestler, you have to be kind of a little bit of a masochist, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Bill Murray shows up at the Little Shop of Horrors to get his teeth done. He's just like, drill me harder, Doc. Anyway, let's get into talking about you rather than complaining about how sore we are. So you recently on the PWA ended up losing the title to Gigi Rae, and if I'm not mistaken, you were the first and only PWA Women's Champion before Gigi.
Yes. That was fun.
Yeah. How long were you the champ for?
So I won it Night of Champions in June of 2019. I think it was like June 20 something. I don't even remember until the Rumble show in January.
And didn't you win the Rumble too?
Yes.
Solid. That's incredible. I mean, because, like, the Rumble wasn't a women's Rumble. It was just, like, a Rumble full of everybody, and, like, you came out and beat all those guys.
Yeah. It was a crazy long night. But, you know, that Rumble, as far as I know, I'm the first woman to ever win it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that was crazy that happened.
Was there a lot of other women in the Rumble?
There was, I believe, Taryn from Accounting was in it.
Okay.
I can't remember if Kat was on that show. if she was on that show, then she was in it as well.
Oh, well, so if Kat was in it and you don't then remember, then she probably hit you really hard.
Yeah.
Probably, or she wasn't there.
But like, I entered late, so some of the people who were in there, like who were there, I wasn't in the ring with.
I hear you.
So I was like, so like, there was so much going on that night that I honestly don't remember.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think it was just Taryn then, like. Just to be sure, like, that's all who I can remember who was in there.
Can you talk about some of the men that were in there with you? I mean, I'm sure, like, was BVD in there and Kid Chocolate and MRB in them?
Yes, I think so. MRB definitely was in there. Colton Kelly, Jack Pride. It was pretty much the entire, like, locker room, honestly.
The whole of PWA
yeah.
Nice. And so with working that night in the Rumble, you also faced Gigi Rae, and it was also her first match ever.
Yeah.
How did you find working with another wrestler who had never actually had like a full-on match?
It was definitely like going into the match because I knew she was so new. Because she started with one of the, like, Force mini camps, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I put a lot of pressure on myself to make sure that, like, it was going to go okay. And that, like, she was going to be taken care of. And they're trying to, like, take off as much of the stress that I knew I had going into my first match. Maybe she wouldn't have to worry about, because for her, like, she knew she knew a bunch of people, Gigi did.
Yeah.
In the locker room, at least, because she had been training with them. For me, I didn't get that because I had gone to an independent show prior to starting training. Like, I had wanted to, but I just, like, all the times that I'd be like, oh, I'll go, I already had plans made, and so I wasn't able to. So I didn't know anybody. And so... Yeah, I had like extra stuff going on going into my first match that I didn't want.
What was your first match?
My first match was against Kat in Calgary.
Solid.
Yeah. Okay.
So, like, I mean, Kat's been around for a long time, and that's
just
one of those things I was gonna just say where I'm kind of understanding what you're saying, because like most of the matches I've been in, I've been the person with the least amount of experience. But there has been a couple where there was somebody that was less experienced than me.
Mm-hmm.
And in those matches, I felt like a little less stressed out. Like, I felt a little more confident, you know? And, like, there was even times where I had to be like, hey, buddy, get in the ring. Like, you know, lead them around a little bit. And it was, like, an interesting experience, and it made me feel like maybe I'm not quite as clueless as I believe I am. Or have been led to believe I am, you know? So, like, just, like, working with somebody, like, far greener.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, you don't have the opportunity to just be, like, the deer in headlights and, like, not know what's going on. If you don't know what's going on, you better figure it out. And because, sure enough, that other person, you might have to.
Doesn't know what's
tell
going
them
on.
What's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. At that point, I hadn't wrestled anybody who hadn't had at least the same level of experience.
Yeah.
Like, so I was like super nervous about it because I had never had to like help somebody out to that extent throughout the match.
Yeah. And I mean, we're not trying to kill the magic, but I mean, everybody does. Is aware that wrestling is a show, and that, you know, while we're out there, you know, fighting each other, we're also working together, and you know, part of working together to entertain the people is you know, keeping each other on track and stuff.
Yeah, and at the same time, like with helping Gigi out for that match, she was phenomenal in that match. Like,
she's incredible.
So. so good, so like natural at it. And so it made it a lot, as nervous as I was, it made it a lot easier to do it because even as green as she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
And she has those instincts where it's like, okay, yeah, if you think you're gonna, if this is what you think you're gonna, you should be doing, then you're probably right. And she like knows that already, which is insane.
Yeah. I'm kind of envious of her because like I've been training like for, you know, a long time. And then right. She just shows up and it's like, oh wow, she's like way better than I am. You know? But at the same time, like we're all gonna learn at our own paces or whatever.
Right.
But you've had like, I mean, we could go back and cover like, oh, you trained with Lat Storm and stuff, but I'm pretty yeah. sure like that's all been kind of taken care of on Spencer's podcast with you.
Yeah.
And I think I'd like to talk to you more about like some of the experiences from just like last year and
yeah.
moving on. So like another big event that happened for the PWA that I'm sure you were involved in was the show that was happening at the in the big stadium in Calgary.
Yeah.
At the hockey game there. Can you talk yeah. about that a little bit?
Honestly, I was so nervous. I don't really remember. There's much of what happened. Like they're like tidbits, but just there's so much going on. I like when it first started like being said, oh, this is gonna happen, I'm like, no. Like really, like
I'll believe it when it does happen.
Sort of thing. Yeah, but like I figured it would happen, but I'm like in awe, like, oh, I'm gonna be wrestling in a stadium. Like
yeah,
in an
yeah.
arena. Okay. And it like almost caught me off guard, but then like it got closer and closer and I'm like, okay, this is actually gonna happen. I gotta like, I don't even know. Like it was just crazy that it happened. Yeah. Mind boggling that it even happened, especially me being at that time not even a year and a half in.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's a building that WWE runs.
Yeah. It was... That thought crossed my mind. Definitely, like, how many people have been in this building
was
and wrestled
the same
in this
building where they held the Calgary, the Canadian Stampede show? Like the big famous one from 97 where the Hearts all wrestled against like Steve Austin and stuff in big tag
I
match.
I think so. Yes.
Like one
other
of the
people
best
will be able to like
of all time.
Yeah, other people will be able to for sure tell you that whether or not, but I'm pretty sure that's where it was. And yeah, it was crazy. I remember like walking into the building and like I don't know, like just trying to take it all in.
Yeah.
Because it's huge.
Were you like nervous when you got out there? Or did it just like, oh, it's time to go to work?
I was nervous up until like I went through the curtain. And then like, what was it? I saw myself on like the Tron.
Oh,
I'm
Jesus.
Like, what? Like, it was, and then I'm like, I had to like take a second. I'm like, oh no.
I remember me and Squig went down for a PW show.
Right.
And in Lethbridge, and it was their Royal Rumble show. It was like maybe my fifth match or something.
Right.
But it was a Royal Rumble, and they actually had like a Tron setup. I mean, they're only doing their show in a Legion Hall, but they had a Tron setup.
Yeah.
And I guess somebody whipped together a Canadian Goose like Titantron video in like 5 minutes, which was basically just like the flag, and then it said Canadian Goose in like writing on there. And I was like, yeah. Oh, that is cool. Like when I came out, I was like, yeah, that's pretty sweet, you know?
Yeah. But like,
so I can't imagine in front of like, God, who knows how many. There was probably like multiple thousands of people in that arena.
Yeah.
Hey?
I think most of the people stayed after the game. I can't remember the exact numbers, but I think like at least 30, 500 stayed at least for the first match, and then like it slowly started like trickling down because like, which I totally understand.
Were you the first match?
No, I was there are four matches, and it was the tag match, the Joes versus the League, and then it was a battle royal for the Mayhem title, and then it was the women's match, and then it was that big six man.
Yeah, and the women's match, that was a four-way, right?
It was a four-way, yeah. It was myself, Kylie Morgan, Alex Wicker, and Kat Von Hees.
Right on. And then that's like that's an interesting thing that you just like clicked for me is we already talked about how you were in the ring with men, but I think like that's kind of a necessity here in Alberta because the four ladies you just mentioned and Angelica and Taryn from accounting and Gigi Ray are pretty much the only women in the province.
And also KJ.
KJ, yeah. Right.
As well. And then there's also a couple of other people who don't wrestle as often. So like Cherry Doll.
Psycho Sawyer.
Yeah, Psycho Sawyer. And then
Sexy Sam,
Phoenix. Quinn Hoxley,
mm-hmm.
Even like,
but at that
Kimberly
time,
Ford, but like, at like
that time, like Quinn wasn't really in there yet.
No, I don't think she had debuted yet at that point. So they're, I think, including the MPW girls, there's 10.
Yeah. And I mean, they're all spread
and those are
out
people who wrestle consistently,
and stuff too, right?
Yeah, and like, those are just the people who wrestle like very consistently. They're those who like will do the like spot shows.
Yeah,
which
the like Undertaker schedule where they're like twice a year they put on the boots or whatever.
Yeah, and like props to them because I don't know if I like I legit don't know if I. Could
yeah no kidding I mean we already talked about like the aches and pains after like, 2 weeks not well think
yeah
like, 6 months like gotta be a real struggle not only on your body even just have a good match when you're out of practice.
Yeah,
so another cool thing that happened for you and I'm just gonna jump around a little bit was the Northern Alberta Invitational Tournament. That was probably your last match. It was against Taryn. How did that go?
Yeah. It went really, really well. I think at least I lost, but I was super, super happy with the match because like it had been like, it was right before everything shut down that it was filmed. And we had had a couple of matches before and they were just keeping on getting better and better. And I think that match was like, I think we were getting better and better every time, but I think that one was even more of a jump, a step above like where we were going, even with us getting better. Like it was significantly better. And I was so, so happy with it. And oh, I love working Taryn. It's so much fun.
Yeah, definitely. Taryn, one of my favorite people to train with is stuff. So you guys have had like, how many matches have you had in all?
So we had the one for Force, PWA. We had one up in Radway.
Yeah, that was RCW, right?
Yeah. The Northern Alberta. I think there may have been one more. Other people can fact check better for me. It's
You were both in the Battle Royal, so.
Yeah. I think I even forgot about one of the matches that we had, like when they were doing the like preview shows for the Northern Alberta tournament, they said a match and I'm like, did we wrestle that time? Like I was confused and I had to look back because I have a list of like when I wrestle people just because I like to.
So you have like a list of all your matches that you've had and stuff?
Yeah, I don't have all the finish like who won or not because that's not as big of a thing for me. It almost helps me to see the work.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah,
that I've put in to get to where I am. It's more so why I write that down. But like I had to look back and like, did we really have that mat? I'm like, oh, we definitely did. Whoops.
Yeah, I have the same sort of thing. Like I have a little file on my phone. Every time I have a match, I add, you know, what the date was, what city we did it in, who I wrestled and who won. And then if there's any kind of like, I mean, weird. It's, I don't go into great detail. I don't run like an essay about it or anything, but like if there was like, you know, when Dead Zone turned on, okay, Vince Austin and Steven Styles defeated Dead Zone and Canadian Dead Zone turned on.
Right.
Right. And then that way I get to keep track of how many matches I've had, where I've wrestled and, you know, like what my kind of win-loss record is. Anyone ever wanted to know that information, you know?
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, what's his name? Like Jericho, he's apparently done the same thing, like just a list of his matches, and then 20 years into his career, he wrote a book, and I'm sure it was like invaluable information for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think I'd go as far as writing a book, but like I like just like for those situations where I'm like, because I'm not great at remembering things all the time, and so it'll be like, oh right, that did happen, cool. Just kind of double checking myself sort of thing.
Yeah So how was it to wrestle in front of no fans? Like I mean, there was clearly so like an audience there, but I'm suspecting it was probably just like the 9 or 10 other wrestlers that were at the show, you know.
Yeah, it was different because there had been like a couple of no fan shows, like I think WWE had put on by that point that we had like one or two.
Yeah.
When we did the show. And so I was kind of watching really closely to the matches where you wouldn't notice that there were no fans to see what they were doing differently than the ones that it was almost glaringly obvious that there were no fans, which is like, it's just adjustment and just trying to figure out ways so like I wouldn't feel as weird doing it. But it was super weird still, even with very few people there, but it was good having a little bit there, so it was able to like make it so I wasn't rushing a little bit.
Okay, was it kind of like when you're having like matches in training, like just training matches?
Yeah, it was like a training match, but with the same, like, because I find it personally, like, it's just, I just can't. I find it difficult to get into the same mindset in training matches. Like, I try, and it's just, like, it's a lot harder for me to get into that zone.
Yeah.
In training, and I've had that with every sport that I've played. Like, in practices, I just can't get into it.
The pressure's not on.
Yeah, the pressure's not on as much, and I just, like, haven't figured out a way to make it so it's, I can trick my body and my mind into thinking, oh, no, it has to be this way. But I think with having the couple of people there, I was able to still get into the right mind frame of, no, this is a match. You're trying to win. Just do what you do.
Yeah, like, I mean, one of the things I found really odd when I watched some of the WWE no fans shows and stuff is like when during their entrances and like after hitting a big move, they play to the crowd and there is no crowd there. So it's weird because it's like wrestling. So, yeah, you should do that. But there's no crowd there. So why don't you just continue beating the piss out of that person until you beat them, you know?
Yeah, it's like one of those things where it's a good habit to have, but like it looked weird in like a setting that nobody was expecting was going to ever have to be a thing, you know? Like, I don't think people were really expecting until it happened that, oh, at some point in the near future, like even last year, in the near future, we're going to have shows without any fans at all because the world shuts down. And so it's not really something that you could plan for. It's something that like it's trial and error at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I mean, nobody could have seen it coming.
Like, no.
Like, if, yeah, it's like everybody just took life for granted. And it's going to be interesting once things do actually open up, and hopefully they do wait till it's like safe to do so. Don't get me wrong. We're already doing RCW shows again, but we're taking precautions, right? Like, there's a limited amount of people allowed in. Every time I show up at the show, pardon me, I have to fill out a questionnaire and have my temperature taken and all that kind of stuff, right? So, like, we're trying to make sure that everybody does this in a safe environment. And I mean, like, Alberta, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like COVID doesn't exist here, but I don't think it's like a super hot spot for it or anything. I think the risk is fairly minimal as long as people are being cautious. So, like, I've really enjoyed being on shows again and doing wrestling. You know, but like, that's the thing, is like, I love it anyway. So they could say, oh, if you happen to, like, you could die anytime you go to the ring. Like, literally, you could get dropped on your head by somebody and die.
Yeah.
So the fact that I could go there and possibly get sick and be ill for a couple of weeks, it doesn't really freak me out that much. You know, I mean, yeah, COVID-19 can kill you, but it's not likely to kill most people unless you're already, like, have pre-existing health conditions and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm just like, yeah, it's totally worth the risk, because wrestling in itself is already an incredible risk.
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing. It's everybody who's doing those shows right now, it's up to them to choose if they're comfortable or not. Like, nobody's making you be like, Goose, you have to be on this show or else.
Yeah, no, whatever. Squig's not like, call, if you don't work the show, you're fired.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing with running shows. Like, you have to make sure that people know if they're not comfortable with it, there's not going to be repercussions for it, sort of thing.
100%. And I like, even when COVID like first started, I know Squig did mention that he wanted to run shows back when it was like we were only allowed to have like 30 people. But at that time, he couldn't convince enough folks on the roster. Like you said, you can't force people to do it. So at that point, not enough people on the roster were interested in doing that, so it didn't end up happening, which I think is for the better, because like at that point when everything was really just right kicking off and people were scared and stuff, like,
yeah,
you know. And it's also like it's kind of hard for him to pay all the boys when he's only making enough money from 30 ticket sales, you know what I mean? So I think that probably played into it as well. Not to get into the ins and outs, like RCW business or whatever, but like,
right.
No, I'm happy it's going forth now. Another really cool thing that pops to mind when I think about your career in the last year here is the Clandestine Society show.
Yes.
In which you faced off against Nicole Matthews, who competed in the Mae Young Classic. And is pretty much considered to be one of the best, if not like the top women's wrestler in all of Canada.
Yeah.
How did that go?
That was crazy. So like when we were talking about like the Saddle Dome show, I'm not from Alberta. I'm not from Calgary.
Oh, you're not? I didn't know that. I always thought you were.
Well, I've lived in Alberta most of my life, but I've never lived in Calgary other than for my training. And so the Saddle Dome, yeah, it's cool. It's an arena, but it wasn't like as big of a thing. Like, it was huge, but it wasn't as big of a thing. Like, whereas wrestling Nicole Matthews, she was the first person with like name value that I'd put in quotes, name value in my career. Like, that it's just the first person that I've worked with. And because I watched her in the Mae Young Classic and I've like studied her matches before, and it's like, oh, it was such a crazy thing. And even before it was like even confirmed, it was just kind of a thought that was brought up, and it was like, hey, MRB came to me, is like, hey, I'm trying to get this to happen. It might not yet, but just so you know, at that point, like, I had my heart, like, my stomach sank with, like, nerves and excitement, and it was so much fun. And then, like, coming to the day of Clandestine, like...
Well, the Clandestine, the whole night was, like, this weird, like, cool, like, environment. Like, it's one of the my favorite shows I've ever, like, been to, not only been on, but been to, like...
Yeah.
It just had this weird, like, by the boys, for the boys, like, and girls, you know.
Yeah.
I mean? But,
yeah.
Like, it just had this cool, like, oh, like, Kurt didn't put this on, Squig didn't put this on, Massive didn't put this on, like, we put this on.
Yeah. And it was awesome because, like, the first time I heard about it was at training. And then, like, it was like, this is my idea, but I don't know if it's, like, if and when it's going to happen. And then it happened, like, as it progressed and seeing it grow and seeing what it, hearing like what we thought it could be and then seeing that it actually became what we thought it could be. It was, I don't know if like you felt the same way because we talked about it so much at training stuff. Like, I'm so, so happy with how it turned out.
Yeah. Yeah. Like 100%. It was like, I mean, honestly, like it was the first time the Canadian Goose ever got a win, so like it was a huge night for me.
Yeah. And then wrestling Nicole was so much fun.
That's what I wanted to ask. How was like Nicole to deal with and stuff?
She's awesome. The way talking through the match before and that sort of stuff, like pulling back the curtain a little bit, just the way she helped like organize this kind of things
mm-hmm.
when we were putting it together a little bit, like it made a lot of sense to me. And then in the match she was so helpful, and like there's a reason why was in the Mae Young Classic. There's a reason why she's thought of as at the very least one of the best in Canada. So it was so much fun.
I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I've never actually like wrestled with any like name people. You know, I mean, I've done training matches with MRB, but he's like my trainer, right? But like, I've never wrestled anyone from WWE or anything like that. But I remember the first time I ever had to announce someone, it was Jeff Jarrett. For RCW, and he was like a dick like at that time, like I remember I approached him like 10 minutes before the show because I was nervous, like I gotta go out there and announce this guy I've watched on TV a million times. I don't want to disappoint him,
right?
So I want to make sure my information's right. So I walked up to him like 10 minutes before the show and I was like, oh, hey, bud, I'm announcing the show tonight. I just need to know like your weight and your hometown. I said, I'm pretty sure you're from Hendersonville, Tennessee. But like, how much do you weigh and stuff? And he just like was like, how much do you think I weigh? And blah, 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 blah. He like opened his tights up and was like, hey, look here. How much do you think? I was like, what? Like, and then he had me sing Kumbaya with a bunch of like storm trainees, and he had me lock up with him. At that point, I had never done any wrestling training. So like he was like, you suck. And I was like, well, of course I suck. I'm the fucking ring announcer, you know, like, and this went on for like a good 20 minutes. Right. So right. I approached him 10 minutes before the show started and he made fun of me for 20 minutes, which meant there was another 10 minutes where there was 400 people down in the Legion chanting, we want the show, we want the show, you know, like, so I'm happy that Jeff actually went and got his demons under control and you know, is now a WWE Hall of Famer. I'd be very happy to like announce him again or you know, even wrestle with them if an opportunity ever came up. But just at that time, it was like, it was so discouraging because it was like, you know, like I've watched this guy for so many years and it turns out he's kind of a prick.
Yeah. Like one of those things, the never meet your heroes trope sort of thing.
But I think that's only like a 50% of the time thing, because I bet you like the other 50, like literally not even 50% of the time, because after Jeff came in, so did Al Snow, so did D'Lo Brown. I got to work with Ron Simmons for CWE. Like a bunch of like name guys, and every single one of them has been cool to me, you know?
Yeah.
The only other guy I can think of that was like, and he wasn't a dickhead and he wasn't like rude or standoffish, just kind of quiet, was Joey Ryan. And, you know, apparently stuff's come out about him lately too.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would be like remiss if I didn't touch on the whole thing, because like when I planned the Women of Wrestling month for Monday Night Shaw, it was well before there was like a slew of just like speaking out movement stories and stuff. And like as a lady wrestler, what are your thoughts on that? Like I'm.
So it's such a difficult thing to speak out, to it's speak out and tell your, to tell your story, because like, and I'm so happy that everyone who did speak out spoke out. And I'm very proud of the woman who did speak out. Because, like, I personally, like, I've had some issues with certain people, but never to the extent of, like, those ones.
Yeah.
And I think it's been a long time coming that it's needed to be spoken out about and, like, said, no, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. And I think,
I don't want to wrestle with anyone that's like going around, you know, raping or groping or just being generally really fucking creepy to the ladies that I share locker rooms with. You know what I mean?
I feel like as difficult of a time and as almost like a glaring spot on the wrestling business as a whole as it has been, it's definitely going to be a change for good, because it's going to make it so everyone's like, okay, yeah, it will not be tolerated anymore. It's not locker room talk. It's not just not going to be tolerated. If you're going to think that it's okay to act the way that you're acting, you're not going to be here much longer. And it's definitely something that's needed to happen. And it's definitely going to be a very, very big force of change for the better of the industry as a whole,
because people are gonna have to like think twice, or you know what I mean.
Well, not even think twice, because if your first instinct is to assault, you shouldn't be in the wrestling business.
100%
That's what, and so it's more keeping everyone else who just kind of stood by and like maybe they didn't notice, and so they didn't notice. But if they did notice and just let it go, they're like, oh, I'm not going to let this go anymore. It's not okay. It's not going to be tolerated.
Yeah, it opens up the doors for other people who have seen things and been like, oh, it's not my place to say anything. To be like, oh, no,
no, I'm going to say something.
And, you know, you better not be doing that shit around here, or you will not be around here. You know
exactly.
What I mean? I 100% agree with you. And it was one of those things where like, yeah, like I say, when I chose to do Women of Wrestling Month, I was wanting it to be like a super happy and positive thing and whatnot. But I just felt like if we don't address that, then people will be like, oh, you're kind of skirting around the issue or whatever. So, you know, I'm glad that we were able to talk about that and now move on. What other, like, really cool, notable things do you think have happened to you in the last little while here?
Ooh, I don't know. I tend to, like, almost in my head underplay certain things, because, like, people will ask me that. I'm like, I have no idea. And then other people will chime in. So I don't know, Goose.
That's what would you consider to be your top three moments of your career so far?
I think winning the title, definitely. Just because that was crazy. I believe I've touched on it before. Like, I hadn't even been wrestling for a year at that point. And so it was crazy to think that, oh, cool, I've been given this opportunity. I'm not going to let it, like, slip.
Yeah, I'm going to work as hard.
Yeah. And, like, it, as much as, like, it is, like, it gave me just enough confidence that it's, like, okay, I can do this. People trust me enough to be able to, like, get through this.
Yeah. Like, it's validating.
To do it justice. Yeah. Sort of thing. So that one was there. Wrestling Nicole, obviously, because that one was also a we trust you for this sort of thing. Like, here's your opportunity. Like, I know it probably wasn't, but, like, on me, I put pressure on myself. Here's your opportunity. Don't screw it up.
Yeah.
And I didn't. So, like, and then let me think. Those are, like, my top two. I think still the Dome Show.
Yeah.
The Saddle Dome Show, just because it was such a, it was an arena. It was my first arena match inside of an arena. And especially, like, I looked into it a little bit, but not too much. I believe at the very least, I am the youngest, like, champion to ever, like, wrestle in the Saddledome.
Oh, wow. I mean, you're what, like, to 2021?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's crazy. Like, I can't think of, like, the I think the youngest champion in WWE I can think of was, like, I'm pretty sure, like, yeah,
well, I think was they were 19, but
he won a Intercontinental belt when he was real young or something.
Yeah. But, like, I was trying to look into, like, just at the Saddledome. And so, like, that was pretty cool, like, just figuring that out. And I'm like, oh, cool.
It's always cool when you break some sort of, like, record like that, or have some sort of notable thing you can say. Like, for me, I competed in the very first wrestling match of the decade of 2020s in Alberta.
Nice.
Yeah, it was me versus Sean Martins in Calgary. And it was the first match to happen after the new year of 2020. So, like, that's for the whole decade, like, if anybody ever looks into it, they'll be like, what was the first match? I don't know why anyone would want to know that. Yeah. But it's just a case. Cool stat that Spencer and Anthony from WrestleCast or WrestleSode told me. And it's very very cool.
It's one of those, like, bucket list things that you didn't know were on your bucket list.
Yeah. It was weird. And I mean, like, I totally relate to, like, you saying when you won the belt, because, like, when me and Dead Zone won the belt, I was like, honestly, like, when I found out it was happening, I was like, I legit, like, talked to the current champs. I was like, is this a rib? And they were like, no, it's not a rib. You know, so I was like, oh, okay, cool. And yeah, it was very validating. Like, oh, okay, well, maybe, you know, maybe I do belong here. And, you know, people are with it. And sure enough, like, me and Dead Zone, we went out, it was like Boyle, Alberta. And we did those school talks, like, before the show. So during the school talk, which was like, you just go out and talk about how it's bad to bully people and, you know, it's not good to do drugs, stuff like that. Well, during the school talk, I got the honk chants going, right? So by the time the show rolled around later on in the evening, all those kids from the school talk showed up and they all knew what to do. So as soon as we walked out there, like, they all started honking and, like, they were chanting, "Let's go Geese," the whole time the match was going on. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. Another really cool thing that did pop into my mind for you, and I mean, I could be mistaken about this, but I believe that you went over to Winnipeg there and took part in a Monday Night Raw taping.
Oh yeah, totally forgot about that. That's on my top list. Top moments list.
Did you like work around in the ring or anything? Did you have like any practice matches with like Sasha Banks or something like that?
I wish. I was just in the like conga line on main event, which is filmed just before Raw.
That sounds so cool, though. I would love to do that.
It was insane. So, like, I didn't even think, because Raw doesn't, other than, like, live events, they don't come out to Alberta a whole lot. Like, I don't remember the last time Raw was in.
It's been a while.
Alberta, like, it was years ago. And so, like, I figured, oh, I'll just, like, wait, it probably won't happen, and then for a little bit, and then it happened much sooner than I was expecting to, and it was awesome to be able to like go out with the people that I went out with. So it was myself, Gigi Ray, Taryn from accounting, and MRB. We all went out.
Nice. How does for that together? How does that opportunity come about? Like, do you have to get invited, or is there like a application process, or like what do you have to do?
So they have that recruitment page, I believe, and that's how they find a lot of like WWE has a recruitment page, and it's just like you put in their information and the sort of thing. And I think that's just how they find a lot of their extras. And so
you'll have to link me to the recruitment page. I'll sign up so that I can try and get on one of these.
Yeah, I don't actually know.
Oh, okay.
It just kind of, it happened so quickly that I don't really know, but it was such a cool experience kind of just seeing the how
God
things...
damn it, Zoe, get me booked.
I can't. I'll try my best.
I'm just kidding.
And it was like, I don't know a whole lot of like that sort of thing, but it was really cool seeing how they set things up. They set up the entire like set so quickly. Like, it was in within like 2 hours. They had the like stage set up.
See, I always assumed they had to come like show up like a day or two before just to set that up.
No, it's all like just the morning of. Yeah, it's huge. And it was just like a cool thing to see, like watching them plan the stuff for Raw, and just seeing the differences and similarities between like what we do and what they do, and it's like, oh, I see sort of things, and it was crazy.
What kind of can you give me any specific examples?
Just like planning, like them talking with the producers and whatever sort of thing, and just like
the level of detail
that they put into things, and it's like, okay, I see why you're WWE. Like, I wasn't like, oh, okay, but like it was like almost more eye-opening, like, oh, they put in so much more than I thought they did, because I realized they put in a lot, but there was like more than that, and I'm like, whoa.
So was there like scripts and stuff handed? I mean, they probably didn't give you
one.
Just because you're like, you're a conga line person, but
no,
like,
it's like the same way that like we do stuff. It's just at like a much bigger scale and much more just like nitpicky sort of thing.
Did you get a chance to meet a lot of the WWE wrestlers and stuff?
A lot of there were a couple of people while we were like just kind of like standing around who would like wave. Specifically, like Mickey James came over and like shook everyone's hands, which was crazy. I believe Bobby Lashley did the same as well. Everyone else was like super nice, so nice. At least like if they didn't shake everybody's hands, at least acknowledged that we were there, which was more than I was expecting.
Was it more so like a thing where like, because like I know that when I go to a show, I make a point to go around and shake everyone's hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like at WWE, like would that be like an invasive thing? Like, would it be like really wrong of me to walk up to Triple H and be like, "Hi, I'm Kyle"?
Well, they also like tell you don't go up to Stephanie, Triple H, or Vince. So probably don't go up to them.
Okay. Yeah, yes. No, I was just using that as like an example, just because like, you know, and obviously like, you know, like when big name guys do come into RCW and stuff, typically I always do make a point to say, "Hi, I'm Kyle," but then I fuck off and leave them alone, you know?
Yeah.
But if you're specifically like, told not to, then that's kind of the information I was looking for.
It's almost like they're at work and you're just there for a day. So, like, don't, like, interrupt them. They're doing their work sort of thing is kind of my mindset going into it. But I did freak out a couple of times.
Gotcha. And did you get to Natty and TJ and them?
I didn't, like, meet them at all. Natty was there because she's on Raw, but I think TJ wasn't there that day. Okay. I don't believe.
TJ came to a PWA show recently, though. Did you get a chance to meet him at that?
Yeah, I did. That was really cool. Because, like, I always love Tyson Kidd, like, as a wrestler. And so, like, that was insane. He came for the anniversary show, and that was my first Nate show. And so I was super, super nervous and just, like, trying to focus on just my match and try not to mess anything up in front of that many people. And then I come to the back and he's right there and I'm like, oh, I just like wasn't expecting him to just be right there. And he gave me some feedback and I'm like, just like smiled and nodded. I'm like, okay. And just
butterflies,
like scurried away very like nervously.
That's totally fair. Yeah. He seems like such a nice guy though. Like,
yeah,
I don't get me wrong. I've never met him. I have, every year on my birthday, he sends me a happy birthday message. And, you know, once in a blue moon, I'll be like, oh, thank you. You know, how are you doing? Or, oh, thank you. I've been working. I told him I was working with MRB or whatever. And he was like, oh, good. Keep up the good work. And I think even one time he put some feedback on one of my posts on Facebook or something. So. Mm. I mean, it wasn't a positive post. It was one where, like, somebody, like, I got pretty badly bruised up on a weekend of wrestling, and somebody was like, oh, you should post that picture of you with all the bruises. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I did. And then he was like, this is not how that business should be. I was like, oh, I'm the one that got bruised. Don't look at me. You know? Anyway, but he just seems like
I've heard
for him
legit
to look out for somebody that he doesn't even know like that is pretty cool.
I've like heard nothing but good things from like everyone about him. So even though I've only had a couple of interactions with him.
Solid. So you got the opportunity to work with Nicole Matthews. Give me three more like names, dream opponents that you would like to face.
So my top one right now is Kylie Rae. I don't know, like,
is she a TNA
she's an
wrestler?
Impact. She's an Impact. I don't know when it like really started to be as much of a thing. I think I just was like, one day I'm like, I want to wrestle Kylie Rae, and like it's just gotten like more and more. No, at some point this has to happen sort of thing for me.
Yeah.
So Kylie Rae is probably my top one at the moment.
And she's the one that's kind of like sort of like the Impact version of Bayley, like smiles a lot and
yeah, like, she's right? Yeah, that's what often she gets compared to. Yeah.
Was she one of the library people in AEW?
I don't know. I know in like Double or Nothing, was that their first like pay-per-view after All In, like AEW pay-per-view.
Yeah.
She was in that Fatal 4-Way.
Oh, okay. So think I remember there was like a group of like librarians or something at the start of AEW.
Yeah. I honestly like wasn't watching AEW as closely as I am like now. When it first started, I just like there was a lot going on and I needed to adjust things. And so I honestly don't know because she was only there for such a short period of time. So she's like my top right now. I just feel like we could have like a really solid match. Chris Statlander is another one.
Okay.
I don't know. I just like
Chris Statlander is the alien girl, right?
Yes. Yes, she is.
I have not seen her wrestle, but I've heard that she's like got something to do with aliens. And I really, I want to see it because that sounds amazing to me. I mean, I wrestle as the Canadian Goose. So obviously I'm a fan of like the gimmicks.
Yeah. No, like her, before I watched any of her stuff on AEW, I was like watching a lot of her like stuff from like Beyond and whatever. And okay. I don't know. She's like probably number two pick. And then there's so many people that I want to wrestle. So it's like hard to pick like just the three top sort of things. People. One that like is just like a weird one, not a weird one, but one that it's going to be a bit and may not happen, but like I want it to happen is Millie McKenzie out in England.
I think
she's come through here before.
She's on the CWE shows. Yeah. She's, I think her boyfriend is the big English fella Charlie, right?
No, that's a different person.
Oh,
that's who am I thinking of? You're thinking of Madison.
Oh, okay.
No, Millie McKenzie. She's like English. She works out in England. She was one of the.
I'm sorry. My information was wrong. I apologize.
No, that's okay. She's just like she tags with. She's in a tag team, the Medusa Complex. It's like a tag team that she's in. Like that one's just like a little one that. Not a whole lot of people out here necessarily know who she is.
Okay.
As much. Like, just watching a lot of her matches, it's like, oh, okay, we could do some things.
Nice.
That would be fun.
Have you got any ambition to go over to England yourself and try to wrestle there?
Yeah, that's actually, like, one of my, like, kind of bigger little goals that I have. Bucket list things, definitely. Before I even like finish training, I'm like, at some point I want to go to England. Just I personally really love the English like style of wrestling. And so if I could go there and like that like British strong style sort of thing and like learn it and see how it's actually done from them, like that would be so cool.
Yeah, they have some amazing talent that come out of there. Like,
yeah,
I remember they did a match between Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate to take over, and it just blew everything from the whole weekend of wrestling out of the water. It was like the best match of the year, and you know, it was two solid British guys having a really solid, like, athletic match.
Yeah, it was that one is like one of my favorite matches. That match, oh, they're so good.
yeah. I love the British wrestling. What about like some other locations? Have you ever got any desire to maybe hit up Japan or Mexico?
I definitely would. Like, if I got the opportunity, I would. Honestly, it scares me a little bit for whatever reason. Just I think a lot of it is like just because of like the stories of especially like old school sort of things where it's like, oh, the dojo sort of things, especially in Japan. It's like, oh, that scares me. Like, I'd do it. Definitely would do it. But it's like almost they.
You just stand there and get slapped in the face and stuff.
Yeah, but like definitely if like the opportunity arose, I'd definitely take it. I feel like it would. I've heard nothing but from people who have been there, nothing but good things. And so I'm getting more and more opened up to the idea of like, yeah, let's do it.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty solid. Going back to the question I asked you about the the top three women you'd like to wrestle. What about just like the top three people in general in Alberta? Like
in Alberta?
Yeah, men or women, just like who have you not had a match yet with that you would like to wrestle?
Ooh. Well, I've wrestled pretty much all of the girls. So I think pretty much the only one who's like on show, who's been on a show that I haven't wrestled with, like at least been in the match with, Tag or whatever, is Quinn. So I do want to wrestle Quinn Hoxley.
I think she's only had like one or two matches.
So yeah.
There's no shame in being like,
I haven't been. I just like haven't had the opportunity yet, which is like fine. People who I haven't been in the ring with, I haven't wrestled. Never mind. Let me think. I mean, I've already wrestled him, but I'd love to have another match with MRB. Just kind of. I feel like I could learn so much. And I have learned so much with just training with him, but I think in a match too, like I'd be able to learn even more.
You learn more from matches almost than training. Like training is good for practicing repetition and getting good at things, but then matches is like how you actually like execute stuff in front of a crowd is like, that's something you can only learn by doing, you know?
Yeah. And then another person who, like, I haven't been in the ring with is on my,
Have you worked with Metal before?
I haven't. That would be a cool one. That would be cool. Yeah.
What about Slammer? Did you ever wrestle Slammer? I know he's not in Alberta anymore, but I was with PWA for a while. Did you get a chance to lock up with him?
No, but when I did the Northern tour last year, and he was on it, and we did a tag together where we were teamed together. So wasn't opponents, but like I have been in the ring with him.
Nice.
Before.
Yeah. How about another really good person I can think of is like Sydney Steele. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And he does like he works a lot with Angelica. I can see you and someone else teaming up against Angelica and Sydney in like a intergender tag or something.
That would be really fun.
There's a lot of like really talented people, and it's a hard question because you don't want to leave so anyone many, else
out. It's like figuring out which people like and trying to remember everyone like. Because I know I've like thought about it of people in Alberta, and just every time questions like that get asked, it's like, wait, who wrestles in
really
Alberta?
Top notch guy to work is Steve Rivers. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even like people would be like, oh, he's kind of nuts or whatever. But the Viking Lord Vince Austin is awesome. I love wrestling him.
Yeah, that would be fun.
That would be such a weird match between these two. I don't think.
Agreed.
I don't think that one will happen, but it would be. Yeah, I'm just. It's a good. He's good shit.
Yeah, I think like along with me just kind of forgetting, I'm more than happy to like just wrestle. Like I just want to be able to wrestle as many people as I can and learn as much as I can from them, and so it's difficult to just pick out the couple.
It would probably be because easier.
Like if I get the opportunity to wrestle somebody, I'm going to take that opportunity and use it to the best of my abilities and like just do as good as I can.
I hear you. It would probably be easier to ask you if there's like, it's probably a smaller list if I was like, is there anyone you don't want to wrestle? But that would also be like pretty negative and like, that's not what we want to do on the podcast here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I don't think there's many no. on that list.
Right on. Well, we have gone for about an hour and 10 minutes now, so I think we will call that a podcast. unless there's, of course, like I say, anything I have completely neglected to mention, now is a good time for that. Just if there's anything I haven't brought up that you think we should talk about.
Honestly, I don't think there is. But as people have seen, I forgot that I was an extra on Raw, so so people, so I'm not the best at remembering things, clearly.
Well, that's okay, Zoe. yeah, no, I'm incredibly happy for you, and I mean, there's no doubt about the fact that you have worked so hard and trained so hard. Like I'm one of your training partners, so I'm in there and I'm seeing you and. I'm so jealous of how you roll and how quiet and graceful it is.
Oh, thank you, Goose.
But like, yeah, you're
hey,
working
you
hard.
Work your ass off just as hard as I do. So, if not more. So,
well, I try. But anyway, like I say, like everything that you've gotten is well deserved, and
thank you.
You're gonna get far more. And it wouldn't surprise me one day to see you. Doing many, many, many more Monday Night Raws and WWE
you,
events, and I look forward to that.
Thank
and,
you.
And
Goose.
At that time, when you're like a regular person, I hope you can get me booked. I'm just.
We'll
kidding.
See. I'll try my hardest, Goose. Alrighty. I promise.
Solid. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to turn this into like a. Okay. All right.
No.
Let's hit your social media links or whatever. Where can the people follow you?
On Instagram, you can follow me at ZOE_SAGER. And on Twitter at SAGERZOE. There we go.
Solid. And then I guess right now you probably don't have any information on your next
no.
match, eh?
No, I do not.
So, I mean, one would assume it will be for whenever PWA starts back up, or if RCW does a show in, like, an out-of-town place where you're allowed to wrestle.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see how things go.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not too long.
No, hopefully not. Alrighty, well, I will see you at training, and thank you very much for doing the podcast here.
No problem, Goose. Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, Quebec and Newfoundland.